scripture for this morning is coming from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here this morning. It is a beautiful day. I hope everyone is doing well. I'm good. I was not feeling that well yesterday. I feel pretty good. Like, I feel fine. But as Alan mentioned, I am going to keep my distance. I apologize in advance for not being sociable this morning. I'm trying to be courteous and not be around you. I'm determined not to spread any germs this morning, so that's the reason. But it really is just a delight to be here with you this morning, and we are so blessed to be in the family of God and to have each other and to have the connection that we have in Christ is just an amazing blessing. This morning, I wanted us to kind of think about this theme and this idea of God being willing to take us in and God being willing to forgive us no matter what. That he will take us no matter what condition we are in. And there's a song called Just As I Am. It's a song that we're probably very familiar with. It's one of the ones we sing often, Just As I Am. And that's going to be one of the songs that I mentioned throughout this lesson. It's actually going to be three hymns that will kind of go along with each of the three things, the main topics that we kind of discuss. And it's going to be essentially how God is always willing to take us in. But that doesn't mean that we stay in the state that we were when we came to God. And so I kind of gave this lesson a title, Just As I Was, to kind of think of Christ taking us as we are, but then, there's a change that comes about us, and we're not the same as we were before we accept Christ. And again, there'll be three hymns. I'll just read the lyrics. Even on my best day, I don't know that you'd want me to lead you in singing on those, but probably especially now, I'll just read the lyrics. I think the words are the important part of what we're going to get from. So I wanted to begin with that idea of just as I am and God being willing to take us no matter what. And I'm trying to be very careful because I catch myself saying that God will accept us as we are. And I don't think that's the wrong thing to say. I don't think it's a negative. But, there are things that we have in our lives before we become Christians that isn't acceptable to God. And things that, even that we do afterward that are sinful, that are not acceptable. So I'm trying not to use that word. Again, not because I think you understand what I mean when I say God accepts us as we are. But we have to also acknowledge that there are things that we do that are not acceptable to God. I think we have to, be honest with ourselves. And that idea that God can forgive any sin and take us no matter what we've done and will allow us to be his children and if we're obedient to him, it's something that, having grown up in the church, it's one of those things that I sometimes worry that I've almost kind of become numb to that idea because I've always known it. And sometimes I have to stop and really take a step back and think and to realize that is not something to be taken lightly. As fallible people, sometimes we get fed up with things, or we get, people in our lives or people do things and we kind of in our minds think, I've reached my limit. And I'm not saying that's okay to do, but God doesn't do that. He doesn't get, fed up with us to the point that he wouldn't accept us if we come to him. is always willing to forgive. There's nothing that we can do that is beyond God's ability to love us and forgive us of. And again, probably a lot of you know that and believe that. But I think it's good to just take a moment to really reflect on what that actually is and how profound that is. And I want to mention, as you might guess, Saul of Tarsus has an example of God's unbelievable willingness to take us as we are. In Acts chapter 7, I'm going to skip around a little bit, but in Acts chapter 7, in verse 58, then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Then I'm going to jump to chapter 8, verse 1. Saul approved of his execution. And then in verse 3, Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now you could make an argument that, you know, if anyone was unlikely to be a champion of Christ and an evangelist and to become an example for how people ought to live in Christ, you could argue that Saul of Tarsus might have been the least likely person to become that. And someone who would make that argument would be Saul himself, of course, later Paul, because he wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So here Paul is saying, of sinners, I am the foremost. Some versions say, like, I'm chief. Like, I am the prime example of a sinner. And yet Christ was able to display his perfect patience through Paul, because Paul admits that he was as bad as it gets. And yet look at the way God was able to use Paul. The amount of the New Testament that was written by his inspired mind, like, you know, his writing became so much of the New Testament. God chose him, and Paul was obedient to him. Just kind of a maybe a little bit of a funny note. When I was looking, there's a website where you know, you click on a Bible verse and it gives all the different translations. Because I was looking at different words for, you know, I am chief among sinners, I am the foremost. And there was a translation I hadn't heard of before. It's called the Easy English Bible. I'm not advocating for it. I just thought it kind of had, like, I found it a little humorous. It translated verse 15. Here's a true message that everyone should believe. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people who do wrong things. I am the worst person like that. I just thought that was kind of an interesting way of saying, like Paul said, he came to save sinners, people who do wrong things, and I'm the worst at that. And I know that it says, like, in the name, Easy English, it put it like as simply as you could. I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm the worst person like that. And Paul here is saying, I am chief among sinners, I'm the foremost, and yet look what God was able to do through me. Perfect patience. That is what we have in our loving God. And that's not to say that sin isn't abhorrent. That's not to belittle, you know, how grave sin is and its consequences, but it is to show how much stronger and how much more powerful God's love is in Christ's blood, in that it's able to overcome all of our sin. We can try to think of any example of sins that we may look at as being grievous, or amounts of sin, or you know, we can come up with examples like that, but it's really not entirely necessary, because we know that no matter what it is, whatever we can imagine, it is not stronger, it is not worse than Christ's blood is powerful. it's not worse than Christ's blood is perfect and is able to cleanse us of that sin. We are taught in Hebrews 10:17, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that now I'll read the hymn, Just As I Am. And just with that first point in our lesson being, it doesn't matter what we've done. Anybody we reach out to, it doesn't matter what they've done. God is willing to forgive us. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. So God is willing to forgive us no matter what we've done, and He will forgive us just as we are. But as we mentioned earlier, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way we're going to stay. That once we come to Him, something very amazing happens. A very popular, I guess, saying is to be yourself. And I think we kind of understand what that means. I don't think that that's like a horrible piece of advice or something that we should just, you know, ignore or teach against, because I actually think that is kind of good advice in a lot of ways, in a lot of circumstances. Like as a teacher, I know one thing that I would tell a younger teacher is to be yourself. You know, it's, you can see some teachers who do things in their classroom a certain way, and their personality lends themselves to that, and it's effective with their students. But that it may not be for every single person. Like your personality can kind of lead you to do things a certain way. And if you try to be something that you're not with children, they can often see through that if you're not being genuine. If it's contrived, it's not going to be as effective. You can be effective with your own personality. You don't have to try to do things exactly like another teacher does, even though they're very effective. You can have your own way of kind of being effective. We don't want to try to be something else or act in a way that's contrived. That's usually not very effective. But when we take that kind of mantra, be yourself, we can take it too far and apply it to things that we shouldn't apply it to. When we have desires, when we have things we maybe believe in ourselves or believe about ourselves that are contrary to God's word, that are contrary to His vision for how He created us and how we are to live, that's not being yourself. It's actually kind of going against what God has designed you to be. And I fear sometimes that we take that thing, that idea of being yourself and being true to yourself and following what you want and seeking after your desires and kind of subconsciously using it, and I don't necessarily mean within the church, but just in society, as kind of validation for doing things that are against God's will. And I hope that we don't fall into that. And, you know, our ability to do what God wants us to do should have precedence over any of our own ambitions, any of our own feelings, any of our own desires, anything else that we have in life. We need to submit to God and do that for him. Because even though we have those differences, and those differences can be very good, we're taught in scriptures that there are specific ways in our service to God that our differences are going to play out in terms of, like, you know, be yourself, be who you are, who you were created to be. It's not the same for everybody. In Corinthians chapter 12, we're taught that, you know, the body of Christ, it's actually compared to like a physical body. There are different parts, different members. They fulfill different roles. And that's a good thing. Like we do have individual roles that we play within the church and in service to God. But however, that idea of, like, you know, be yourself and follow your own desires, your own path, we can take that to an extent where we, you know, again, we're going against what God has ordained us to do. We can't just say that, you know, the way that we see things, do things in our own wisdom is always right. But it really comes down to serving God and to follow His instructions. If you'll allow me to use a quotation from a Batman movie, I'll do that. It's not who we are underneath, but what we do that defines us. I think we can maybe apply that a little bit to our lives as Christians. Like, we can have our, you know, those things inside of us that we may feel, but we need to, that's not who we are. What we choose to do is what really defines us. Not our desires, not our feelings. It's not to say that those feelings are irrelevant or that we can't have, you know, positive feelings. It's not to ignore that emotional side of our relationship with God. But it has to be founded upon truth. And it has to be founded upon His Word and His wisdom. And I recently heard a Christian leader, not someone from the church. It was, you know, just on video. You know, when you look at videos online, it starts feeding you all those types of videos. So you listen to a few, like, you know, Christian discussions, and it keeps feeding you. So I keep watching them, and sometimes they're interesting. But I saw one. It was a person who professed Christianity who was really, he was kind of disappointed because he thought that, I'm going to kind of paraphrase, but if we're not inclusive of people, people get turned off and they won't come to church and they won't be faithful. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, I don't want to judge that person's heart because, you know, again, the whole point of this lesson is that God will take in everybody. And I think, and I believe, and I'm hopeful that no matter who came through that door, we would welcome them, we would greet them, we would share with them the truth, and love them and encourage them. We would do anything good for them. Like that's good inclusion. But just as inclusive as we need to be of every single person in this world, I believe we need to be exclusive when it comes to the Word of God. We should only follow what the Bible says. We shouldn't have any other doctrines. We shouldn't have, you know, opinions that dictate what we do. We should solely rely on God and His Word for what we teach and what we believe. Inclusive of every person, no matter what. But again, I think it's right and justified to be exclusive in what we teach, and that it only be the Bible. And we shouldn't confuse the two. That when we stick to God's truth, that should not be construed as being exclusive of individuals, of people. When we were baptized, we died to our old selves. We died to our opinions. We died to our feelings. We die to our desires. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul writes, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're to be transformed. We are not to be ourselves any longer. We're to become living sacrifices. As in the passage that was read earlier, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are living sacrifices. It is no longer us who live. It is Christ who lives in us. And I think it's important to note that in that passage we read in Romans 12:1, that we do so by testing that we may discern the will of God. And to find that, we have to go to God's Word to know what is true and what is right, so that we can, again, be transformed and become Christ-like. If it wasn't for the Word of God, His truth delivered to us by His inspiration, we wouldn't know what that was. But thankfully to God, we do. So, the hymn that I would like to read, the lyrics, is Less of Self and More of Thee. To kind of, I think it's a wonderful, like, progression through this song of what it means to be a Christian. The way that you start, just as you were, but the transformation that takes place when you're in Christ. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. My wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. Thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. That's the process we go through as Christians. When we come to God, full of ourselves, our desires, over time, we grow, we learn, we give more and more of ourselves over to God until it is Him who is living in us and not us of ourselves. So our final point this morning, what is our response to this? God will take us as we are, but we're not supposed to stay as we were. We have to repent. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Now, in one very real sense, all sin is deliberate. It's a choice, either by ignorance or, you know, by weakness. You know, we can't just, you know, ignore sin. It's all our fault when we sin. But I think this passage is speaking about something more encompassing when it talks about sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth. That means walking away from God, denying Him, trying to find forgiveness, hope, wisdom, trying to find a way to God in another way. If we do not seek forgiveness and heaven through Christ, we will not find it anywhere else. And that leads me to the final hymn that I'll read. One of, if not my favorites, because of the message that it sends. It really speaks to me, these words. And that hymn is, "I bring my sins to thee. I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No word shall needed be, thou knowest all so well. I bring my sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King." And so hopefully from this lesson this morning, we've been encouraged. I know I have in preparing it, that we can every day go a little bit further away from where we were when we came to Christ and closer to where He wants us to be. That we can say, "I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine, ever thine alone." No matter where you are in your relationship with Christ, He is willing to embrace you in His arms right now. And we are willing to help you with that wherever you are. If you need to come to Him, if you've already done that and you want there to be less of self and more of God in your life, we stand ready to help you. If you'll come forward as together, we stand and sing.